Sermon on the Mount, and we touched briefly, just briefly, touched the hem of the garment. And the more I keep reading over this, the more it just, and I'm sorry, maybe you're not that way, but the Bible, it just seems to, it's one of them things that just keeps increasing more and more and more. And every time you read something, it just grows, and you see the Bible just becoming more real, and you see the importance of meekness. And as we read here, we just for sake of our memory here, and he said he opened his mouth in verse 2 in chapter 5, and then he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He's talking about once you get to the end of yourself, end of your self-reliance on your work and your life, and when you're poor and needy in God, the kingdom of heaven is at your door. And then in verse 4, it said, "Blessed are they that mourn," and it's a place where the Holy Spirit breaks you. And it says, "For they shall become," and the comfort that comes from that once God breaks you. Then verse 5, it said, "Blessed are the meek, for theirs they shall inherit the earth." And we touched briefly, they're talking about the millennial reign. But this meekness, and we talked about Moses was the meekest man of all the earth, but it's an attribute in our life that's manifested by the Holy Ghost of God. And it's something that's not seen a whole lot. Sometimes we see a lot of arrogance or pride in our lives more so than meekness. And this understanding of what true meekness is. Now, Moses was a man meek, but does that mean weak? And we looked at that. It does not. Don't mistake meekness for weakness. Because you take a man that come out of the mountain, he sees the children of Israel are dancing. They've made a calf. Aaron has helped them. He just said he throw these rings in and out jumped this calf. Oh, you know, that takes a lot to believe, a lot of faith to believe that just happened, like he said it did. But nevertheless, his anger was kindled. Was it kindled that they just wasn't doing right? Or the meekness is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in his life that he was angry because they were sinning against the Holy God. Remember Jesus when he went to the temple and they turned his father's house into a den of thieves and he took a bunch of cords in his hand. Was he just, no, it's because they took a holy place and made it undefiled before God and he run them out, turned the tables over. This meek, Jesus is the meekest, so meekness is not weakness. And you looked at Paul, what was it in, Acts 16? Let me read it to you real quick. Acts 10. Listen how Paul says these words here. I'll read in verse 35. Listen. "And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant saying, 'Let those men go.' And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, 'The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.' But Paul," listen to what Paul says. Paul was a meek man too. But listen to what he says here. "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now they thrust us out privily. Nay, verily, and let them come themselves and fetch us out." That's a pretty bold feller. I mean, but he's bold in the Holy Ghost of God. So this meekness is not weakness. It's courage in doing right. When someone's using foul language or got a dirty joke, and you're in sight and hearing it, do you laugh? Ha, 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 ha. Or, no, that's a time to sit there and kind of, I'm disgusted with this. Or just walk away. Or do you laugh? And kind of just want to fit into the crowd. Because according to the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, come on, peace, long-suffering, what? Gentleness, what? Meekness, there it is. That is part of the fruit of the Spirit, which we've already studied. So if you're full of the Holy Ghost, this meekness from God is going to help you defend those things that are right. Moses was a meek, mild-mannered man, but nevertheless, there he is. Took the tablets, breaks them, and then what'd he do? He ordered all who was in transgression to what? Slay them. this meek man that can't even speak before Pharaoh, but boy, when it come to doing something right and standing for right, who needs a dose of meekness that type? Amen. So don't mistake meekness for weakness. That's why I just couldn't get away from this. There's more in-depthness I think we're missing in our lives. When we're out and amongst the world, when we're out door knocking, when things are wrong, to stand for what's right. It's needed in our lives. I used to say this in jail. I said, anybody can put a leather jacket on. I said, the biggest faggot sissy can put a leather jacket on and act bad and use a foul mouth with four-letter words and think he's tough. Boy, I got some ugly looks. I thought they were going to kill me before I got out there. But it's the truth. They know it was truth. Anybody can. But to stand up and do something right, stand up for what matters in life at school. Do you listen to the grub that goes on? Because you want to fit in, but nevertheless, you're a child of God. To fit in at work, you want to... Where the tire meets the road, who are you? Do you have the fruit of the Spirit, that meekness? We never look at... I'll be truthful, Pastor. I never looked at meekness that way until I studied this out. That it's a sign of strength, courage, honor for before God. Did anybody else? I just learned this. This meekness, I always thought it's a attribute of a character. I knew that, but till I studied it, oh my goodness. This is courage. This is strength. This is honor. Meek character stands for what's right. So we seen here, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then we just touched here briefly. True meekness is ever manifested. Listen, now this is F.B. Meyer, I believe. Or was it A.W. Pink? I was going to write them down so I could tell you who said it. It's not for me. You'll get the wording once I read it. True meekness is ever manifested by yieldedness. No, it's F.B. Meyer. Remember now. To God's will, yet it will not yield the principle of righteousness or compromise with evil. True meekness will never compromise with evil. Will always stand for what's right. Never bends to do wrong. True meekness. I said, wow, no wonder them old fellers did great things like that. My soul. God-given meekness can also stand up for God-given rights. When God's glory is impeached, we must have a zeal which is hot on fire. When Moses come out, the mount come down excited. He has the Ten Commandments in his hand and he looks and the people have sinned. Jesus coming in the temple, he comes in and he sees there's got the table set up. Oh, give me $5 over here, give me $10 over here, and they're selling stuff. He's going, what the world are they doing? Meekness is courage and honor. Defending those things that are right. God help us. Because that's what I believe the world really needs to see in us. True, holy people. Moses was in very meekness. Christ. And then Paul defending those things which are right. So now, our last words last week was, we shall inherit the earth. Now you can take this for fruit for thought. Old George Mueller was a man who really had an unusual prayer life. And his prayer life was, in a sense, he'd pray for things that was impossible. Literally impossible. He started orphanage for children and had no means, no money, no way, no how, and prayed, and God heard his prayer and says, he's a serious man. And he literally built, I don't know how much money he went through, Pastor. I like to get the figures of how many orphanages he built just by prayer, and people would come from all means. Money come from all kinds of people. People not even say to donate money and just give and just say here. And they didn't know why. They just couldn't keep away from it and built these places to house children that didn't have a home. He had a true burden and a true heart for it. So when I look at this scripture and I'm going, shall inherit the earth. And I'm going, well, George Mueller, he was a guy that he was setting it up almost. He had a passion for God in a way that God would hear him. And God honored him. I mean, when he'd say, Father, God would go, what? Who needs a prayer life like that? Amen. What can I do for you, son? Well, we got these kids. I don't know what to do with them. They're going to starve if you don't do something. They need a house. They need a home. I said, what are we going to do, Lord? You got to do something. And he would kneel for hours and hours. He got the ear of God. That's amazing to me. But I know this goes bigger than that, but my thought process went thinking, inherit the earth. He was getting blessings from God right here, right now. Not just inheriting the millennial reign that we mentioned last week. Who can think of something else that God does in our lives here, right now, and meets your needs? I'm getting blank faces. What about when you read a scripture? God seems like the scripture comes off the pages. And you get a sense of presence of God in your life. And God becomes real to you. And God parks in right where you're sitting. And gives you understanding of that. And all of a sudden you feel like you're the richest person in the world. Who knows what I'm talking about? Right? When God does that. That's a little taste of heaven here on earth. A little taste, a little dad of God sin, little handfuls of purpose on spiritually speaking inheriting. And God shows you how vile your old flesh is and you just want, oh God, I want a pure life. And God gives you that passion, that zeal to desire a more pure life. You desire more. You want to please God more than anything. Kind of shall inherit the earth. Heaven on earth. Where God moves in a church service and you feel like, God, you do anymore, I'm going to pop. My back can't take no more, I'm going to explode. And it becomes sweet. Shall inherit. Those are just food for thought. We've got 2 minutes. So who can give me another one? Things God does. Now we're going to get into millennial reign just a little bit, but I ain't got time for it this morning. How about when God answers a prayer you've been praying about? God finally blessed, and you know God did it, and there's no other explanation for it. When God does something, or God gives you a nudge and says, there you go. Amen! And God, I think it's E.M. Bounce, God has a reservoir of blessings. Innumerable, unbounding, so full, wanting to bless and to help His people. And we receive not because we ask not. We're not getting the ear of God or being serious enough. I sit there reading some of these old timers where they'd kneel at the same place and they're, not in the carpet, in the hardwood floor, there's a spot where their knees, where they met the floor. And desired nothing more than God in their lives. God would help them. God would bless them. And this meekness we was talking about is always seeking and reaching out to more to others. Moses was constant. Was he concerned about himself? No, he was always concerned about the children of Israel. Jesus himself never curious about putting a pillar for his head, never talking about him, but always curious about taking care of theirs, having compassion, making a difference. And all, some of the greats, that's all they did. concerned, that they was overwhelmed. That's what run their lives, was concern about others. And it wasn't just concerned about their carnal needs, it was concerned about their spiritual need. Concerned about all them tracks you pass now, brother. Man, you're leaving them. That's your concern. These people are going to die and go to hell if somebody don't tell them the truth. And you're the one putting it in their path, saying, hey, tell them about the kingdom of heaven. That they can be in the middle of life. They can have a home. They don't got to die and go to hell. What a wonderful responsibility. What an awesome responsibility God has put on every one of us that's saved, born again, that God would help us need it. So this meekness, we need this attribute to stand for holiness and rightness. For theirs. They shall inherit the earth. That's a thought that you want in it. Let's pray. Father, to God, bless your word. Lord, give us understanding. Oh, Lord, how in depth. Lord, this is your first sermon you preached here on earth, Lord. Lord, it's so magnificent in all what you've said to God. Lord, how much you desire. Oh, if we get a hold of this, that now we need to be filled, die to this old flesh, that you may reign and rule in our hearts and lives, that everything we see is about others and you, dear God, pleasing our Heavenly Father. Lord, as you said yourself, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, that's a true sign of that meekness you was talking about, dear God. So help us, dear God, to retain this in our lives and take it home. Bless our preacher preaching, dear God. Let us hear from heaven. Lord, someone here lost, help them be saved, for it's everlasting too late. Lord, for they feel the veils of fire dipping at their heels, dear God, that they be born again. Lord, have your will and way, dear God. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.